We are going to be continuing in our new series on the book of Proverbs, and it's called Proverbs, Uncommon Wisdom for Skillful Living. And so we'll be preaching on this through the rest of the summer, and I'd like to begin by just reading the scripture. You'll find that in your bulletin, or you can turn to it in your Bible. I've included here what I would call the two theme verses. One, you could pick either one. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. And then to our main passage in Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Verse 16. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulterers with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forget the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep in the paths of righteous, of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Let's bow together for a short prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your word. It is a guidebook to us. And as we have turned our attention, particularly to the book of Proverbs, Lord, and what it says about wisdom, Lord, we acknowledge that we lack wisdom. We've certainly made a mess of our world. We've made a mess of our lives. We lack wisdom, Lord. And so we desire that you would teach us from your word, particularly from the book of Proverbs and particularly from this passage. We pray that your Holy Spirit would open up our hearts, Lord, to receive what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I must admit, I don't watch too many of the most contemporary movies. If you were to ask me what's the most popular movie these days, I couldn't give you an answer. But if you ask me about classic movies, if you ask me about old movies, then I think I could at least give you some opinion about some of my favorite movies. And one of them is Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I think many of you probably have seen that. And there's all these sequels and prequels and all these other things that are related to it. But generally, the plot is that there's this archaeological professor, Indiana Jones, or Dr. Jones, as we call him, who's on this quest, right? And he's looking for this ark or the Holy Grail or some magic stone or the crystal skull or something like that. And he's on this worldwide quest, and he travels all over the world. He overcomes competitors, overcomes fights with Nazis. He's in all kinds of physical danger, but he's relentless, right? I mean, he just keeps on going, trying to find whatever he's focused on. And he's willing to sacrifice. He's willing to go through all kinds of different obstacles so that he can reach the prize of what he wants. And so this morning, I want to challenge you as Christians, if you have not done so, to begin a quest, okay? A quest not for some ancient artifact, but for wisdom, okay? For wisdom. And you may think to yourself, wisdom, I mean, you know, is that really that valuable? Is that really that important? Well, from God's perspective, it really is. It's more important than some ancient artifact or some treasure that even if it costs, it's worth a lot of money. And so here in Proverbs chapter 2, the writer begins, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures." You see the tie-in? I mean, God is telling us that we need to seek wisdom like some hidden treasure, that we need to recognize how valuable that it is. Now, Pastor Enoch brought an introduction to the book of Proverbs last week, and sometimes people sort of think that Christianity and the Word of God is not very practical, okay? I mean, seems like it's always talking about the future, right? It's talking about heaven and hell and when you die and or talking about the end times. Or sometimes it seems to talk about a lot about the past, about this ancient history and ancient stories that took place centuries ago. And so it doesn't seem like sometimes that the Bible has any relevance to our daily lives, our lives each and every day. And so that's certainly a misconception. But just to address that, we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs. And I would say it's the most practical book in the Old Testament. I mean, it's all practical, but particularly book of Proverbs, you don't have to do much thinking to realize how valuable and important it is to our daily lives. For instance, it could address questions like, how do I get along with problem people at work? Right? Or what does a godly woman look like? Or how should I respond when I'm criticized? How do I raise my children to be godly? How do I get along with my spouse? What's the best way to use and invest my money? Should I try my luck at the new casino Encore? Right? I mean, these are questions that we're sort of wrestling with, right? Everyday kind of questions that we think about. And the book of Proverbs helps us to make good decisions, to make wise decisions. In chapters 1 through 9 of the book of Proverbs is a series of talks from a father to his son. Or it could be a mother or father to their son. And you'll find that there's a lot of recurrent themes in these talks, and I'll be repeating some of the things that Pastor Enoch talked about already. And we're not even getting to the Proverbs yet, you know, because we're like, you know, you might be asking after this sermon, where are the Proverbs? Well, it's these talks are preparing us for those Proverbs. We need to understand God's perspective on wisdom first. We have to kind of whet our appetite first in order to be open and apply those Proverbs in our lives. And so this chapter 2 begins with the saying, my son, right? And again, it could be a mother or father giving a talk to their child. And it's like wise counsel from a parent to their child. And there are a lot of times that, you know, as we've been growing up, we sort of think that we know better than our parents, don't we? You know, and if you have teenagers, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? See, when my children were young, they used to think I knew everything, all right? But when they became teenagers, they said, you don't know anything, right? But after a while, they finally learned that he knows something, all right? A little bit, all right? And so sometimes we might be that teenage child. We might be thinking, I need to listen to this. Why do I need to listen to this? I know what's going on. And yeah, you may know a lot of things. And I felt the same way about my parents, okay, when I was growing up, because they didn't even know English. I had to translate everything. I had to explain the electric bill and all these things to them. And seemingly they didn't know much. But they actually knew a lot. In fact, they were very wise because they have gone through life before us. And my parents, just as your parents, have learned from what they've done and also learned from their mistakes. And so you might say, this is a parent to the child. It's the older to someone who's younger. And so I'm perhaps one of the oldest people here, so I'm here to kind of pour down my wisdom and experience and let you know. But most importantly, you got to think about it's God. God's speaking to us, right? He's saying, you need to pay attention to wisdom. You need to seek after wisdom. You need to have this quest to gain as much wisdom as possible. So first, we need to ask the question, what is wisdom, right? And Pastor Enoch mentioned that wisdom is skill for living. And chapter 1, verse 7, you might see, or chapter 9, verse 10, these two verses that are printed there might be the theme verses for Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So we need to understand these theme verses. And so fear, as mentioned, is not terror, but a healthy reverence, a healthy respect for a legitimate authority. And so God is our ultimate authority. He is our creator. He is the one that we're ultimately going to be accountable to when we die. And so we need to have this healthy reverence, healthy respect. And we need to understand certainly who God is, that he is our creator, that he is holy, that he is all-powerful. He is all-love. And so that should invoke in us this fear or healthy respect, this reverence for God, because he is so much above us. You might say a healthy fear of God is to take God seriously, right? So do you take God seriously in your life? Do you really, if you look at how you spend your time, how you spend your money, do you take God seriously? And so fear of the Lord might be showing that reverence, that respect for God. And so here it seems in these two theme verses, it seems like wisdom and knowledge are somewhat used interchangeably. And yes, they're very related, but they're not exactly synonymous. Dictionary definition redefines wisdom as the ability to discern, to judge what is true, what is right or lasting. Knowledge, on the other hand, is information gained through experience, reasoning, and acquaintance. And so I would relate wisdom and knowledge in this way, that you might say the diamond is wisdom, okay? But you know, diamonds have a lot of facets to it. And I would say knowledge is one of the facets of wisdom, all right? As you turn that gem, that diamond around, there's lots of different faces to it. And so knowledge is one of those facets. Knowledge is to know what is right. Wisdom is to do what is right. So wisdom is putting knowledge into practice. For instance, many of you learn in perhaps Sunday school, if you grew up in a church, you perhaps memorized the Ten Commandments, right? And so the Ten Commandments certainly show to us what God expects from us, right? And so you may memorize it, you may be able to rattle it off, and certainly that's knowledge. You need that. You need to understand what is God's expectation for us. But wisdom is putting the Ten Commandments into practice, all right? And to be able to understand how to apply it. And so you may ask yourself, well, the Bible says, thou shalt not murder, right? So how does that apply to capital punishment, for instance, or abortion, or something like that? So these, you need wisdom to really kind of understand how to apply these commandments. Because yes, they're commandments. It's good to know what they are. It's good to have knowledge of it. But how do you apply it in everyday kind of life? Or another way to ask it is, what would Jesus do, right? In some sense, wisdom is thinking, acting, feeling like Jesus. And so Jesus, you might say, is the ultimate in terms of wisdom. And so I think the goal in terms of wisdom is to kind of think, feel, and act like Jesus. That's the sign of a wise person. It shows you need to have knowledge, obviously. And let me also say this about knowledge, that knowledge is not just academic knowledge. It's not just knowing the facts. It also involves knowing God in an intimate kind of a way, right? That, as you know in the Bible, know is a word that's used for even sexual intercourse, okay? So it's not just talking about a casual acquaintance, but it's something that's very, very intimate. And so if you have, it talks about, in this passage, knowledge of God. And I believe that our college students will be studying the book, Knowing God. And I think many of us have read that book by J.I. Packer, and it talks about the different attributes of God and things like that. And so that's really important to know these facts. But it needs to go beyond that, right? It needs to know God in an intimate kind of a way, not just knowing the facts about God, but really having a close relationship with this God who has all this power and holiness and love. And so the source of wisdom, you'll see in verse 6 of chapter 2. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Now, there's a lot of self-help books out there. If you ever go There's not too many bookstores these days, I realize. But if you were, you would realize that this is a lot of self-help books. And there's a lot of, you might say, secular wisdom or human wisdom. And so there's a lot of wisdom, you might say, that's out there. But we are talking here about God's kind of wisdom, okay? It's not just something that's popular. It's not the conventional wisdom. But to understand that God's wisdom maybe is something that's different from the popular culture. Because things in the popular culture might be in contradiction to God's word, or maybe incomplete in certain ways. And so the wisdom that we're talking about here is the biblical wisdom here, God's kind of wisdom, the spiritual wisdom, because that's complete. And it kind of gives us the picture, the bigger picture of reality. So the second main point is to ask the question, why is wisdom important? Why is wisdom important that we would want to launch a quest for wisdom? And you'll see this in verses 9 and beyond in this chapter. Because here it lists a number of benefits of seeking after wisdom. That if you have a diligent search for wisdom, number one, you'll have a life that God blesses. That as we seek after wisdom, this is what pleases God. And God will bless us. God will help us in many different ways. For instance, look at verses 6 through 11. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. So it talks about how God blesses you, particularly with protection. All right? Now, you may not realize that you need protection. You may not realize that there's a lot of dangers that are out there. And the Bible tells to us that the dangers, the enemies of the Christian is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so particularly the world is trying to squeeze us into its mold, into its way of thinking. The world tells us that everything is relative, that God is irrelevant, that Satan does not exist, that heaven is just a state of mind, that hell is some medieval concept, or life is what you make it, and death, well, you just try to ignore it. And so our world tries to get us to think in a certain way. And so we may not realize the danger, because it's somewhat gradual. It's all around us. And so in this passage, it talks about how as God gives us wisdom, he is, for instance, verse 7, he is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. I know that when this proverb was written, protection was symbolized by this shield, right? And we don't use shields today, right? But maybe we do, right? Because many of us have antivirus software, right? We recognize, people tell us, oh, there's all kinds of danger on the internet, all right? And that we need to protect our computers, because they will have this email, unsolicited email that you could get, and it will entice you to click on this link, right? But if you do, all kinds of problems are going to happen to your computer. And so you need protection. You need a shield, right? And so you might say, this is what God provides for us. As we seek after wisdom, one of the benefits that he gives to us is this protection. And he goes on further in verses 12 to 15, talking about deliverance or protection from the way of evil men. And in verse 12, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness and to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked, who are devious in their ways. And then it goes on to talk about deliverance from this forbidden woman. In verse 16, it says, so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsake the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, and her house sink down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So the Bible is telling to us there's a lot of danger out there. And they're personified in these evil men or this seductress that's mentioned here. And we need to understand that we need to be careful. We need protection against people who would draw us away from God and people who would cause ultimately our destruction. And perhaps in those days, it was easy to identify the seductress, for instance, the prostitute, for instance. I remember back in the old days, maybe not so much now, but down in Washington Street was considered the combat zone, right? And this was the, quote, adult entertainment district. And it would not be difficult to identify the prostitutes, particularly by the way they dress and that kind of thing. And so, but today, it's very difficult to identify all those dangers that are out there, particularly now with the internet and things like that. For instance, I was shocked to learn that three of the top eight most visited websites in the United States, three of the top eight are pornographic sites. You think about that, you know, about all the usage of the internet. And the top ones are Google, YouTube, Facebook, Amazon, and Yahoo. Those are the top five. The next three, and I'm not going to mention what they are, are pornographic sites. Okay? That's amazing, right? And to recognize that there's a lot of danger even in the internet. It's not just the viruses, that are out there, right? It's some of it is the content. And you might say, okay, I'll just concentrate on religious websites, all right? You'd be shocked to understand this. The most visited religious websites in the United States. Number one, Jehovah Witnesses. All right. Second, Bible Gateway. Third, the Latter-day Saints or the Mormons. Number four is horoscopes. Okay. So I would say only Bible Gateway, I would say, is biblical Christianity. All right. The rest, I would not. But, this is the statistics of how frequently these websites are visited here in the United States. And so a lot of people are getting their content from sources that are outside of the Bible, right? And so there's a lot of danger that's out there. And so even though it mentions here about deliverance from evil men and forbidden women and all that kind of stuff, we're going to bring it up to date, right? The principle is still true. You got to watch out what's out there. There's a lot of danger that's out there. And we need to have a lot of wisdom. At the end of this month, my wife and I have been married 43 years. All right? Okay. Thank you. And I remember I learned a very valuable lesson in my first year of marriage. Okay? See, I used to think that, okay, you know, I've been, you know, wanting to get married to my wife and that kind of thing. And then, okay, once I get married, I won't have any desires or attraction to any other woman. Right? But so after I got married, I realized, oh, these other women are still attractive. You know, I thought, oh, once I get married, I'm, quote, satisfied with my wife. I don't have to worry anymore. No, there's still danger that's out there. I'm still being tempted in different ways. And so here at the church, if you're on church staff, wisdom has told us we need to have boundaries for our pastoral staff. We will not counsel a person of the opposite sex more than three times, okay? We counsel you in our office, which now has windows on the door, okay? Because this is what wisdom tells us to do. So the Bible tells to us that we need to learn to protect ourselves against some of the dangers that are out there. And then in verses 20 and 22, it talks about the different destinies between upright and the wicked. Let's look at verse 20 and 22. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep in the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. So the land is particularly for the Jewish people, and it was the promised land. And so the upright will inhabit the land that is the promised land, or there will be, the wicked will be cut off from it. And so for us today, we're not looking for a physical land, but we're looking forward to heaven. And so what the writer is trying to say is that depending on how much wisdom that you have, whether you are seeking after God's wisdom or not, the upright will be blessed, and those who are wicked will, in some sense, receive a curse, right? That's what it's really saying to us here. And so we need to understand that there are different destinies, you might say, that are here. And so I know our Project Destiny people are right here, and I love that name, Project Destiny, because it's really quite descriptive. I remember who coined that name even, you know, back when we first started it. But it's so appropriate because we're talking about middle school students who kind of like, okay, I don't, you know, just learning about life and things like that. And one of the things that we do in our summer camp is to share with them some spiritual principles, some spiritual truth, and plant those seeds that are there, because those seeds, hopefully, they will grow and bear fruit and change the destiny of these young people. And I think we've seen so many people who've been baptized, who share in their testimony how Project Destiny was sort of their start. And so, the word Project Destiny is like, it shows to us, it dramatizes for us the ultimate destinies that we face. If we choose God and choose His wisdom, or we reject it. And there are different destinies that are there. And that's why it's so important. And may I also add a note that as we look at the Proverbs, it's not teaching us salvation by works, Okay? And, you know, it sounds like, oh, if we just do all these things, there's a theme also of trust in God, trust in the Lord. And, it's not just obedience in doing the right things, but also believing, having faith in God as well. So I think that will probably come, later. So let's conclude by looking at how do I get wisdom? And, probably the best is to look at the first five verses again. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments with you, making your ears attentive to wisdom, inclining your ear to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the faith of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So first, we need to desire wisdom with all our might, with all our heart, okay? As it says, we need to seek it like silver, search for it as hidden treasures. And it needs to be a quest for us. It needs to be important for us. And so as you read this chapter, hopefully it's not just the Father speaking to the Son, it's God speaking to you, telling you, wisdom is so very, very important. You need to seek after it, okay? Second, we need to understand wisdom is found in God's Word. We must not only know it, but meditate on it and apply it as well. Verse 2 says, my son, if you, verse 1, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. So, particularly here, making your ear attentive to wisdom. In the old days, didn't have, you know, Bibles, physical Bibles to read. You know, things were written in scrolls. So lots of stuff was passed down by oral tradition, you might say. All right? And so that's why it says making your ear attentive to wisdom. That's sort of like Bible study for them. H.R. Ironside, who was a pastor in a previous generation, says this, these verses do not suggest a careless reading or cursory examination of scriptures. The soul is exhorted to receive these words. The sayings of God must be received into the heart where they are to be stored. The ear must be inclined to wisdom, the heart applied to the understanding, the mouth crying after knowledge, and the voice lifted up for spiritual intelligence. The whole being is thus devoted to the search of the truth. The earnest seeker must dig into the Word of God as a man searching for silver or hidden treasure. He must not be content with surface finding. When the God's words are valued more than our necessary food, the result is certain. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So Dr. Ironside is encouraging us not just to listen to God's word, but to really get into it with all your heart. And then the third would be how to get wisdom is you ask for it. You should pray for it. Verse 3 says, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. And this parallels what James chapter 1, verse 5 tells us, that if we lack wisdom, we need to ask God. And so how many of us pray for wisdom, right? We worry about our problems. We try to figure out what's the right thing to do. How many of us pray for wisdom? Fourth, we need to choose good company, or the other is to avoid bad company, right? And so in verse 20, so you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of righteous. And we looked already about how it talks about avoiding evil men and the forbidden women. And so the kind of company that we keep, I'm not saying avoiding non-Christians, but hopefully the most influential people in our lives should be people who have the same attitude about wisdom, right? Because if they don't, it'll lead you astray. So, and you notice here in the first verse, that it begins with, my son, if you, all right? So it's telling to us, you have a choice, right? It's not saying, I'm going to force this upon you. You have to do this, you know. No, you have a choice. And so, but the ball's in our court. And so we need to decide if we want wisdom or not. We have to decide whether we're going to make wisdom a priority in our lives. I'm not sure if this show is still on TV, but it certainly had an attractive title. Who wants to be a millionaire, right? I mean, right? Wow, yeah, who doesn't want to be a millionaire, right? Or if we had a show, how to get into Harvard or, you know, Ivy League, MIT, or whatever school that you want, right? But what if there was a TV show, how to be a wise person? No one would watch it probably, right? No one would be interested. Even us as Christians, we wouldn't be that interested. And the Proverbs is telling to us that we need to make wisdom a priority. Then we need to change our attitudes. That as people are striving for money, for fame, power, fortune, all those kinds of things, we need to strive for wisdom. And God's part is that if we make that a priority in our lives, He will grant it to us. So there's this two-part thing that if it's up to, it's in some sense, it's up to us to desire it. But if we desire it, God will respond and give it to us. Okay? Because He's the one who gives us wisdom. So I challenge you to begin your quest for wisdom if you haven't done so already. And one way to do that is by reading a chapter a day from the book of Proverbs. Because there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And Billy Graham wrote this as he wrote the foreword to the Living Psalms and Proverbs. He wrote this, for a number of years, I've made it a practice to read 5 Psalms in 1 chapter of Proverbs a day. The Psalms teach us how to get along with God. Proverbs teaches us how to get along with our fellow men. You cannot imagine the blessing this encounter with the Scriptures has been in my life, especially in recent years. So it's good enough for Billy Graham. Hopefully it's good enough for you. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we admit that we are a product of our world, our society around us, that we allow the world to shape how we think about showing to us what's important, what to live for. But ultimately, we recognize that your word tells us that we are accountable to you, that you are the highest authority. And so we need to have fear of you, respect for you, because you are the Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth. You're the one, the ultimate judge of each one of us. And so help us, Lord, to think of ultimate things, not just what's good in the next few years, but what's good for our entire lives. And as we read in this Proverbs, it tells to us the need to make wisdom a priority in our lives, a quest in our lives. Yes, we've made a quest to get into a good school or get a good job or make a lot of money or you get married or have a family. But that's not lasting, Lord. So ultimately, what pleases you is our desire for wisdom and desire that we would have the wisdom that tells to us, Lord, that we need to make Jesus Christ our Savior, the wisdom to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Master of our lives as well. And so we pray that you would help us, Lord, to make this wisdom a priority in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.